Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Margaret Fontana Media Podcast Show. We are in the midst of the pandemic of 2020, and we are hopefully coming to some sort of light at the end of the tunnel with the stay-at-home mandate. And so I'm in New Jersey, and that means, you know, we'll be complying with our stay-at-home mandate probably till May sometime. We'll get more information. But in the meantime, today's podcast, I wanted to talk about social media and the use of social media in the time of crisis. So my previous podcast was about using social media, or how to use social media for crisis communication. And so now what I want to talk about today is more about how we're seeing social media evolve. And, you know, it's really about how people have come back to the basics of social media in this time of crisis, in this time of need, and how it's actually helped gain, you know, more awareness, more credible information for people. You know, I think many years ago when this all came to the surface, it was really considered the Wild West. And I think what has happened over time, there have been more rules set in place. More of the social media platforms have held themselves more accountable, such as Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, you know, just due to all of the other larger scandals like Cambridge Analytica, where, you know, we know that a lot of our data and privacy is really, it's open. You know, I don't really think there's such thing as privacy at this point in time. We can do our best to really make sure that there are protocols in place. And I'm glad that Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and all of the other players, YouTube, Google, are making sure that there are protocols in place to continue to protect your privacy. But the goal of why we want to talk about this today is to really talk about the power behind social media and how it's really become the digital front door to everything. And, you know, I love that, you know, we can create websites. I love that we can create landing pages. I love that we can create all these digital different technologies and things. But if we really look at the big picture of what social media has done since 2008 is really, it's provided a one-on-one way for brands, for institutions, for government agencies, for public figures to really communicate with their consumers one-on-one. And if you look at examples within government, I mean, if you're on Twitter right now, everybody's daily briefings, including the White House and including every press conference, is live streamed through Twitter, number one. And so we've seen huge amounts of increases come through in the last couple of weeks, or since March, I should say, since, you know, COVID-19 really became the focus of everyone's life. And in this time of crisis, you know, the social media usage has gone up to astronomical numbers. So there was one study that I read about, that a study of 25,000 consumers across 30 markets showed engagement increased 61% over normal usage rates. And that's over Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and those are all within the countries that have been hit the hardest, right? So it's like, obviously, United States, it's parts of Europe, more concentrated in Italy, and, you know, all of these like major geographic areas that are experiencing this terrible tragedy that we're all in, seriously, together. So if we go back to Twitter for a second, you know, Twitter is actually seeing 23% more daily users than a year ago. And I can understand why. And the reason is, like I said, you have all of your government agencies, including the White House, including, you know, let's say Governor Cuomo, Governor Phil Murphy, you know, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, LA, you have Gavin Newsom. You have all of these major public figures really updating in real time, moment to moment, what their plans are, what the latest CDC, and including government agencies such as the CDC and WHO, these have become Twitter, I'm going to just focus on Twitter for a minute. Twitter's become the number one space for crisis communication and for communicating out to the world. So if you perhaps missed one of the press briefings, you know, a lot of that information is within Twitter. A lot of that information is available on Twitter, on the timeline. If you miss some sort of statement, usually what happens if someone's part of that social media team for any of these government agencies or for any of these governors, they're doing recaps on Twitter. So it's, of course, forcing people to say, you know what, let me jump on Twitter, because that seems to be where people are getting their information first. So Twitter, you know, as part of the social media evolution, revolution, is now, I think, the number one platform. As I've been saying over the last, you know, couple of years in doing the podcast and in different places, like even in Advertising Week, I was there last year, in September, we were just talking about the different platforms. And in my book, Twitter's still going to be your number one platform for communicating, for engaging your consumers, for really being able to connect and like use it almost as a telephone, like an open-ended telephone. You know, you're always getting that information no matter what. So it's interesting, you know, like I said, there's a 61% increase in usage on social media over this last you know, phase of this like the meat of this crisis has been since the beginning of March, technically, till right now, which is the end of April. And I'm dating this podcast. I mean, this is going to be a contextual historical podcast based on the date, because, you know, this has never happened before. This has never, obviously, I guess, since the history books, since 1917, 1918 from the Spanish flu. So they didn't have technology the way we have today. So I think, you know, and there are other studies that are most likely going to come out about how a lot of the usage and a lot of the messaging that has gone out from like a lot of the state organizations and the organizations that are responsible for your health, the public health, use the social media platforms to really keep consumers and keep the public aware and keep the public informed on what to do. So, you know, they're most likely, and I think I've already seen some research and statements out there talking about how social media actually happened to possibly be an effect of flattening the curve. I mean, obviously you have to physically stay home to flatten the curve, but I think what's happening is because you're on your phone morning, noon, and night while you're in this quarantine, you're really being hit with the messaging. So it's this very interesting dynamic that's happening right now. And I think that that's attributing to a lot of the success of the numbers going down. I mean, obviously, you can't really control certain aspects and elements, but this is an added value. And I think a lot of people, a lot of businesses are starting to see the renewed value of social media and what it's really doing for your connectivity to your consumers, for awareness to the consumer, for the public. It's so powerful. That, you know, you're going to be probably seeing different research and data coming out within the next year. You know, there was actually something else that was being collected between Facebook and Twitter, Google and Apple, to be able to track, I mean, more so for the social media platforms, but to be able to track the physical location and physical you know, track of someone who may have been infected with COVID-19. And that was in the early stages. We were already seeing articles and research on how Facebook and Instagram, more so Instagram, they were showing like almost like the timeline of where the probabilities were of people, the concentrations of people being infected with COVID-19, and that being a possible way of tracking. So it doesn't seem so crazy and it doesn't seem so outlandish that like Google and Apple will come together to build some type of application where you consenting say, yes, you know, let me use this new app just in case in the future we're tracking COVID-19 or some other variation of maybe it's not COVID-19, maybe it turns into something else. So very interesting, but the point of why we're talking about this today, we want to be able to document through the podcast the increase in social media usage across every platform and the importance and the value of every platform and how it's played a part in communicating, it's played a part in informing the public and keeping the public up to date on what to do, what not to do, keeping the public informed economically. You know, there's an economic factor in this as well, because you have the world sitting at home, no one's at work, and a lot of information is being transferred and distributed through these different channels, including Messenger. You know, there are different components and technology to each platform that are attributing to either economics, you're receiving economic news. There are just so many endless things about the value of social media right now. And so if someone, you know, when everyone gets back to work and there's a conversation about budgeting and there's a conversation about resources for social media, more than ever, social media, I think, supersedes, in my opinion. Again, this is my opinion. It's my podcast. This is my opinion. Social media supersedes a lot of what your marketing teams are actually doing. In the beginning, you know, I used to talk about how social media becomes the vehicle in order to really distribute the marketing information, which is still true. But at the same time, social media is your digital first. Digital has to be first before you sit down and look at the creative and look at the graphics and look at the messaging. You have to know your audience. You have to know how you want to communicate with people. And, you know, social media, digital media has to be at the table first, always. Moving forward into the future, more so than ever, the proof is in the pudding on this. And you can pull up all the statistics just based on what I gave you. I was just giving you preliminary, very high level statistics across what Facebook was gathering, what Twitter was gathering, and more so about also credible communications. You know, as a lot of government officials like to call the media, the mainstream media, not credible anymore, and there's a lot of fake news, and all those things are true. Those things are true. There have been, and you know, you've had a 2016 election with possible tampering into advertising on different platforms. You know, these are all real things. So what has happened too, you've had a lot of these different platforms, Facebook, Twitter, really jump in and act responsibly, almost from a journalistic perspective. So there's more stake in the game now, and there's more buy-in. You can buy into all of these things. It's not, you know, in one of my speaking engagements, I referred to back in 2008 when I first got hired to do the first social media strategy and platform, you know, audit analysis and execute a whole plan for a major Fortune 500 company. It was considered a little lighter. It was actually just like, hey, there's that cute social media thing. We're just going to put that little cherry on top. You know, and what has happened, it's reversed completely. You know, it's not cute. It's not like this little button. Oh, I like that. You know, it's a nice little thing to have. Now it's a must have. It's a core. It's a core element to marketing, to communications, to public relations. And all of those things act in different ways. You know, now it's about safety. Now it's about health. Now it's about economics. It's about all of the basic needs. You know, social media has become the basic need. And, you know, I think it's fascinating. I think there's going to be more. We're going to see so much more. And I think what's next for social media is really this, you know, I think there's going to be more of a evolution inside of it. And I think that people are going to really look at what worked during this time frame. And I think everyone's going to look at how it worked in an urgency time frame and how it worked in real time and how it rallied people across the globe to really be able to act and to communicate and to be able to make a difference. And so, as I said, it's about health, it's about public health, it's about economics, it's about overall life. And, you know, I guess the bottom line is, you know, and we can analyze my statement at another time and someone else can feel differently about what I'm saying, but social media is life. it allows the extension of life to be connected. It allows life to be engaged. You have never seen this level of engagement. And engagement is real. You know, when I say you can't measure engagement, you really are not able to measure, you know, a phone conversation. And what social media has become is an exact phone conversation. And if I hang up the phone, I know I had a really good conversation. And in my opinion, social media has become that. It has become the number one way of communicating. And we're going to see it evolve. We're going to see it continue to evolve. But I would say if you're going to invest your money and your budget anywhere, and you're going to invest in people for social media, invest in the experts for social media. And anyone who is in social media or who works in social media, you know, it's about putting in the time, and it's about putting in and listening and watching and engaging. And sometimes it's not always about commenting, and it's not always about liking. And you know, I struggle with those metrics, because sometimes those metrics just, you know, they could be very inflated for no reason. And sometimes people pay for those metrics, you know? So you got to really think about who you're hiring to put into those positions, because those positions are for people who have very open mindset and who can really take a step back, look at the big picture and understand the business goals, understand the safety goals, understand the economic goals. And, you know, that person has to have a little bit of everything, and that person has to be in all the meetings, and the person has to understand what it is that you want your business to do. And what it is that you want your brand to be. So, you know, that's the producer of social media. Social media is life, and it has become one of your number one core elements to communications, marketing, PR, to everything. You know, it's not even segmented. So it's become your core. So this was today's episode. We're talking about the restored value of social media and, you know, social media during a time of crisis. So like I said, I've had the episodes where we talk about how to use social media for crisis communication, but this is really about evaluating social media and bringing the value back to social media for any type of communication. And we just happen to be in a very historical moment. You know, it's not like a super positive moment for the world. It's sad. There have been a lot of tragedies associated to it, and it's worrisome, and it makes you know, it's actually consuming. It's very consuming to the human spirit. So this is important. You know, social media has allowed us to stay connected. It has allowed us to be informed. It has allowed us to be safe. It has allowed us to keep our businesses running. It has allowed so many things. It is the doorway. Social media is the doorway. Websites are not the doorway. That whole idea, I believe, is out the door. Websites serve, you know, very specific tasks, and that's what they're for. It is not digital engagement. Digital engagement happens on social media, and there's so much to it, and there's so much, it's fascinating and it's exciting. There's so much excitement to what technology will hold in the next few months, especially because we've been forced into a new time frame. This happened after 9/11. If you've been, if you were, you know, present for 9/11, or, you know, depending on your age and maybe your geography and where you live, 9/11, this forced phone technology to change, cell phone technology to change. Hurricane Sandy, same thing. That was another crisis, and that was more inside of New Jersey. That forced phone and digital technology to change completely. That changed infrastructure. So now we're at another crossroad where, and that was 10 years ago. So we're at the 10-year marker. Here we are again. And I think the surface of what allowed us to communicate was social media, because this was more of a silent, situation. And then, you know, people being sick and going into hospitals was the physical part of it, where people actually, you know, it wasn't like a Hurricane Sandy where you saw destruction and houses being torn apart, or 9/11 where it was like, you know, an act of war, but very different situations, but all very similar, common thread with all of them. So I'm excited to see what the technology will bring us, and how all of the minds, the innovative minds, are going to be able to come together and really bring us more access. We're lucky. We are very lucky. We're in a very, very exciting moment for technology and innovation. So thank you so much for listening to today's podcast. And again, today was about social media and the revalue of its use during a crisis. And if you have any thoughts or comments, email me, leave a comment. Also, rate the podcast on iTunes if you can. I would appreciate it. And thank you so much.